So let's first pray together before we come to God's word. O God, your Son, are we there? Oh, hang on. There we go. Yep, let's join together and pray these words. O God, your Son has taught us that those who give a cup of water in his name will not lose their reward. Open our eyes to see those who are in need, and teach us to set no store by riches and earthly rewards, so that in surrendering ourselves to serve you in your children, we may labor for the treasure that endures through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to read a couple of sections from Romans. We're going to start in chapter 1 and verse 16. First, and then we're going to go across to chapter 3. So beginning in chapter 1, that's page 796, and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now verse 21, chapter 3. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as the sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When we talk about what we're seeking to do as a church, what we're seeking to be, what do we mean by sharing faith? Usually when people talk about faith, it's generally to describe a religious belief of whatever or any kind, and you have lots of personalized versions of that, therefore. So you have, well, my faith matters a lot to me, or I wish I had your kind of faith. We might say that a person has a very strong faith, and we would think perhaps that they're the good guys, that they're the kind of people that God would probably accept for their efforts. And so in all of those generalized ways of talking, thinking about faith, the focus is very much on how that person or that individual lives. Having faith becomes a way in which people do their best to lead a good and honorable life, where they seek to not do any harm, to do more of a particular thing or less of another thing, in the hope that when they appear before God, if it is they believe in him, that they will be accepted. And so it makes faith about our efforts, and it makes faith kind of vague, actually, and a little bit distant, not much use practically, day to day, and something that's probably most significant on special religious occasions. I don't think that's very appealing, and it isn't something that I would be in a rush to want to share with anybody. And it's not what we are seeking to share as a community among ourselves or with those who, as yet, are not a part of our community. Because biblical faith is really not anything like that. It is generally not what people think it is. Because it is not about what you do. It's not about what you do. It is about what God has done. That is fundamental, you understand that. It is not about what you do, it is about what God has done. And it's not vague, and it certainly isn't for now and then, but something to live by for all of your life, Monday to Sunday, and from the beginning and end of your days. That's what the Apostle Paul, who's writing this letter called Romans, says in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, this is back in chapter 1, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So Paul is unashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. And the gospel, he says, brings salvation or rescue or restoration to all who believe. And it is from God, a God-given reality. It's a rightness that is granted by God and from God. It is therefore given and it is not earned. So faith, fundamentally, when we live by faith from first to last, is not about what we do. It is about receiving what God has already done and living by faith in what God has already done. And so when we talk about being devoted as a community to sharing our faith, one of the implications of that is the awareness and the knowledge and the promotion of the fact that we are all equal by faith. And so you are welcome here, no matter what your life has been up to now, or even this morning, because there is no high bar that we are asking you to jump over, and there's no hoop that we're asking you to jump through to be accepted among us, and more importantly, to be accepted by God. Because faith is in what God has done from first to last. And that can capture and carry you right now from whatever point you are at, because it is about what God has done. And when we're talking about this rescue or this salvation, some people just, perhaps you may be among them, just think that that's unnecessary, that you get on and live your life without faith and it's not something you need, that people around you don't need it. And Paul goes on to explain in this letter that we're on a relational collision course with God, whether we consider ourselves religious or not. And he says in chapter 1, verse 18, a little bit further down from the first bit we read, that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men, people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men were without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, it's not hard to find people who don't want to have anything got to do with God and who want to suppress that. We also know people, on the other hand, who try to live a decent life, and they believe in God in some way. They have a faith of some description, and they try to keep his laws, but that actually is no use either. That doesn't make us right with God either. And if you come again to chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight, in God's sight, by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So when people endeavor to lead a good life according to God's commands, they end up finding out just how far off the mark they actually are. And it's why faith is what we share, and why faith is so critical from first to last. Because verse 21 says, "But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." So it is from God. It's not from you at all. It is from God. So it's top down, so to speak. It's not bottom up. And God makes that known. He's the one who reveals it. And it is apart from law. In other words, it is apart from our efforts to obey. And in fact, when he says, to which the law and the prophets testify, he is saying this is what the Old Testament was saying all along anyway. The law itself was telling us that it's not the answer. That if we seek to live by it, we'll only find out how far we fall short. But now in Jesus we see what it was pointing to. And so faith is a response to what God has done. It is not a request for him to approve what you have done or what you are doing. Faith is a response to what God has done. It is from him, from God, apart from law, a rightness that is made known, which the Bible up to now actually has been talking about all along. And you don't want to be judged by God based on your life. Because no matter what you have or haven't done, you will fall short. In verse 22, he goes on to say, "This righteousness from God," see again, he emphasizes where it comes from, "comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There is no difference between the guys who suppress the truth and don't want anything got to do with God and those who seek to be religious and the good guys. There is no difference. I'm fairly little, right? I'm 5'8". I'd say maybe Owen is the only one shorter than me here as a bloke. There are some of you who are very tall, right? None of us are going to reach that ceiling. It's irrelevant what height you are, to give a very basic, ridiculously mundane example. You're not going to reach it. You're just not going to get there. It doesn't matter. So don't bother trying to live some kind of good life to get to God. It makes no difference. It makes absolutely no difference. If you have sought to lead a good life and be a religious person, or you have had no place for God and refused to acknowledge him, there's no difference. None. If you have lived a life full of regret and hurt, if you've made decisions that have covered you in shame and in guilt, there's no difference. It makes no difference. You are no worse off than the people you think are in a better place than you. Whether you're in the pit or you're on the mountaintop, you're not going to be able to reach the stars of God's glory. There is no difference. We all fall short of God's awesome glory. We cannot reach God. That is the bad news. But he reaches us. And that is why we have a faith to share one with another and with those who as yet think it's all about some distant God who might approve of you and might not. Faith is not what people think it is. And we have the opportunity to share that. Find opportunities to share that. Just last night, I was sending videos to Grant, as I do, of our neighborhood party. I'll not put the video on here. You can watch it if Grant can show you on his phone. It was interesting, shall we say. And people were drinking a fair bit in the early evening. And there was music and everything else. Now, why was I there? Because I want to get to know my neighbors. And that provided an opportunity for me to do so. And it was great crack. And there was one guy that I thought, I think this is somebody who's probably not drunk, has young kids, and seems friendly. I'll have a chat with him. Turns out he walks past my window every day. Lovely guy, lives around the corner, gave me his number, happy to come around for dinner. Great. Find the connection points in your area. You may not have a street party, you may live in an apartment or wherever you are, but things will be happening around you that you can plug into to simply get to know people and say, hey, do you want to hang out? And share your faith in simple ways by building relationships with people. But it's about sharing that with one another as well in meaningful and purposeful ways. We can open up with each other, therefore, because we all fall short. I'm not better than you. You're not worse than me. Now we can open up and we have faith in Jesus. We don't need to pretend with each other. We can talk plainly about our doubts, our failures, the things that are painful to us. We've got nothing to prove to one another because it's not about the strength and power of my faith. It's about who and what I have faith in. And so we point each other to Jesus in all the things that we are encountering. Sharing faith is to share the faith we live by from first to last. And we are together in that. We're together in that. Tamo junto, as the Brazilians have been teaching me. We're in this together, right? And you see, when I use a term, I've chosen Portuguese there, so the rest of you don't get one. But when you speak a few words in somebody's own language, they love it, right? It lights things up. It creates a connection point. And many of you are learning the English language. And the more words you understand, the more you connect with people. And the more confident you become in expressing your own self. And the more you're able to be yourself and build relationships with people. It takes time, but the more vocabulary you have, the stronger that gets. The less words you understand, the less you know what anybody's talking about, and you feel isolated, and you feel on your own, you feel like nobody understands me. And there are plenty of words in this text that are not familiar even to native English speakers, but the better we grasp them, the more confident we become in our relationship one with another, sharing that faith, and with God himself. So the word justified, verse 24, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now, justified is a legal term, and it means we are declared not guilty despite the fact that we are guilty. We are made right with God. We are justified. It's not because we have reached a higher standard. It's not because our sin is ignored. We are treated as though we were innocent despite our sin. It's free to us. We are justified freely through the redemption, another big word, verse 24, that came by Christ Jesus. Redemption is to be bought back, to be redeemed. And God does that himself at great cost to himself. In verse 25, speaking of Jesus, God the Father in this instance, presented him, Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Some older versions will have a propitiation, which is an even harder word. This is something only God can do, something he was willing to do, something he did at great cost. Jesus was crucified in our place. At the cross, Jesus willingly gives himself in our place to satisfy God's wrath for our sin. That is the power of the gospel that Paul is celebrating. And that makes us at one with God. It makes us right with God. At one mint. Atonement. A sacrifice of atonement. And Jesus is fully God and fully human. And so he alone is the perfect sacrifice. So what you have is God giving himself to save us from himself. And our freedom is bought with the blood of Jesus. He is punished in our place. He takes our shame and gives us glory. So we look to the cross to understand and to share what faith is all about. It is where we are redeemed, where we are rescued. And God does that. He alone can do that. And he did it in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so there's nothing whatsoever that we can add to that in any way by how we live. And there's nothing we can subtract from that either. We can only receive the benefit of it through faith in Jesus. You can't make the cross less effective because you sin more. You can't make the cross less necessary because you think you sin less. We all need it equally. We're not sharing religiosity or good living or rule keeping. We are sharing faith, a life-giving faith, because of what God has done for us and in us through the person of Jesus. Now, even at that, we are naturally self-focused. Now, if I was to take a picture of this room and put it up on the screen, what's the first thing you would all do? You'd be looking for yourself. At least Alina admits to that. Maybe the rest of you are just not as bad as Alina. But that's what you naturally do. You think, oh, I wonder where I am. I wonder, have I got my eyes closed? Or how I look, how I appear. It's just a natural inclination we have. We're naturally self-focused. Even when it comes to what we're talking about today, we can be focused on self. I have faith that Jesus died for me. True, but the cross is not first and foremost about you. It's not even first and foremost about us. It is first and foremost about God and his character. See verse 25, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this, why? To demonstrate his justice. Why? Because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. We're told again why he did it. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. How can God forgive without compromising his own character and his own standards? How can God show his love and his wrath without compromising one or the other? How can God accept and justify an unacceptable, guilty people? He achieves all of that through the cross. He demonstrates his character. He demonstrates his justice. Which begs the question, well, what about everybody who came before the cross then? How did that work? And here we are given the answer. He left the sins committed beforehand unpunished, the end of verse 25. God had unfinished business with sin. He carried it forward till the punishment due was unleashed on Jesus on the cross. So all the sin of the people who went before the cross, and all of the sin of the people who come after it, and all of the people who ever will be, are atoned for in exactly the same way. God shows he is consistent, unchanging, totally, completely just in the one way for all time. The cross is the demonstration of God's flawless character. He is just, and we benefit then, personally, and as a community, from that demonstration of his justice. Because through that, we are made right by faith. And faith, therefore, honors God, because you're not pointing to yourself. So faith is all about, whenever you think about, well, why should God accept me? It's about pointing away from yourself to Christ. Anything that points towards you, you're pointing in the wrong direction. You're pointing away and pointing to Christ. He is the one who justifies those who have faith. He demonstrates his justice and dissolves the problem of our sin through the cross. Only God can do that for us through faith in Jesus. And so that is a faith that you are invited to even today. Do you have that faith? Do you understand these things? Because that is the faith to live by. That is the faith we want to share with you. That is the faith we want to share with one another. And that is the faith we want to share to our neighbors and friends and colleagues in our workplaces. Don't try and clean your life up first in some way before you think you can come to Jesus. It's not about your efforts. It's not about your failed efforts. It's about faith in Jesus. We bring nothing to the table but responsibility for our own guilt. Without his action, our condemnation is certain. We bring nothing to gain his favor. We only point to Christ and cling to the cross. So all boasting becomes completely irrelevant and excluded. verse 27, where then is boasting? It's excluded. In other words, where is the point in which we can say, I did this. You, God, should reward me the fact that I lived a good life. Where you're boasting, where is the place for that? At the foot of the cross. It doesn't belong. It's excluded. And he goes on, and what principle? And that of observing the law, on trying to be a good person by living up to God's standards? No. On that of faith. And he's already said the law was telling us that all along. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Now, when we get that truth, when that sinks in for us as individuals and how we relate to each other and how we relate to the people around us, the masks can just come off. When we share that faith, then we are free to acknowledge who we really are and what we are really like. We can be real and honest with one another, beyond the superficiality and the habit of keeping people at a distance and not discussing and sharing what's really going on. We are free then to share the muck and mess we're in, to share our helplessness and our dependence on God. And as we do, we model faith to one another and we share faith with one another. And if we can't do that with one another, we are never going to do it with the people who have yet to understand any of these things. We show together our mutual need of grace, of forgiveness, of confidence in Christ alone, and we admit that none of us is all that we seem to be. And so we are here to share that in Dublin. We are here to share that among ourselves and among those we spend our time with, to share our neediness, our dependency on God, to be honest about all the ugliness that is in our hearts. And when we become conscious of our sin, to share that with each other, to talk about it openly, to share what faith means to you in that new awareness of your sin. And when we share faith, then we lose all need to try to impress each other or to impress God. That is completely irrelevant. It is gone, excluded on the principle of faith. So we can now say to each other, I feel guilty. I've done wrong. I hate who I've become. I feel despair. I feel doubt. I feel distant. There's no need to hide anymore. There's no need to drown in your own thoughts and your shame. There's no need to run away from one another or from God, worse. Everything that caused him offense has been dealt with on the cross of Christ. It died with him. You died with him. He rose. You have victory with him. And we share that faith one with another, and we share our freedom from everything that stands against us. There is no difference between us. We all fall short, and we all have joy in grace by faith in Christ. And so we share where we're growing, where we're struggling, where we're changing, enjoying faith from first to last, because we have been set free, made right, justified, all by God, through faith, through Jesus. That is what we are about. We are an international Christian community sharing faith, hope, and love. So share it, believe it, and live by it. Listen again to these words from chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's pray. Father, teach us truly the significance of this faith that you have given, that you've made known, that we have in Christ and free us from any sense of pretense or pride or guilt. And may we relish in the faith we have, share it one with another and with those around us. Give us that help by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing.